The Sportscast, August 16th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. Hit that like button. Hit that notification. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net for the latest. Or you can download our app, The Sportscast, for iOS for the latest and greatest. Today we have a special guest all the way from the up north, America's Top Hat, Jeff Jeschnack. He is a NFL guy, Cowboys guy, NFL. Welcome to The Sportscast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Welcome. Thanks, everyone, for joining in today. This is great. Thanks for having me.
So, Jeff, tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you found the NFL.
In my spare time, I do some content creating on my own channel, mostly video games. But I have been a NFL fan since probably before many of your audience have been born. So in the mid-70s. I became a Cowboys fan because my older brother is a Steelers fan. So in the 70s, if your older brother is a Steelers fan and you're the little brother, pain in the butt little brother, what team are you going to navigate to? It would be the Cowboys, right? You can see, I don't know if people can see, I got my Roger Staubach signed jersey behind me. So that's when I first sort of became a Cowboys fan, which everyone asked me because I live outside of Toronto. I'm about an hour from Buffalo, and people are like, you're not a Buffalo Bills fan? But again, I became a Cowboys fan. We were living high in the 90s. The last couple of years, or 25, have been, you know, not the best. But you know what? This year's our year.
Yeah, the Cowboys have definitely have evolved a lot. They've been through, I think, a couple quarterbacks since Troy Aikman. What is your opinion over this squad? This squad has a lot of potential, of course. You got Dak Prescott and, of course, Zeke. But yep. Do you think this squad has what it takes to win a Super Bowl?
From the offense, I think all of your listeners will agree we probably have a top three offense, possibly the top offense. It's hard to argue with a healthy Dak. I'm going to qualify that. You know, he was not healthy last year, so that contributed to part of our issue. Obviously, Zeke has been, since he came in the league, one of the top running backs. Again, you know, I know a lot of people hate the Cowboys, and that's fine, but you can argue, you know, yes, Zeke didn't have the greatest year, but we also had a lot of injuries in our offensive line. You know, we had a top offensive line, so Zeke does well. We've got probably three of the top wide receivers in the league. Again, if you go with Madden ratings, they're, you know, right up there with Amari, with Michael Gallup, and, of course, CD. Our offensive line, if it can stay healthy, you know, we got Zach Martin, who is, one of the best offensive linemen in the league, right? So where we had issues last year was our defense. Now, Dak went down, Dak got hurt, so that contributed to it. But, you know, even before he got hurt, you know, he was on track to put up 6,000 or 7,000 passing yards, which, you know, it's, you got to have a balanced attack. So, you know, we had some challenges on defense. We've got a new defensive coordinator this year. New system. You know, we drafted Micah Parsons, number one. You know, we've got some other young rookies that I think will step in. I think we have the talent. I think we have the coaching. It's just can it all get put together to make a run against the Bucks, the Green Bay Packers? I think preseason wise, if you look, we're probably one of the top 3 to 5 teams that have a shot. Yes, you know, other people will say Washington. We didn't even win our division the last 2 years. People put a lot of hopes on Washington in our division, but their starting quarterback hasn't taken a team to the playoffs yet in his 16-year career in Fitzmagic. As everyone loves him, he does some magical things, but he's yet to take a team to the playoffs. So I'm not confident on that. Obviously, Philadelphia is rebuilding around Jalen Hurts, and how is he going to do in his first full year? And of course, New York is just pitiful. No offense to the New York fans.
Yeah, might be one of the biggest rivalries for the Cowboys.
Could be.
Dak Prescott, do you think he's the man in Dallas, or do you want to wait and see what happens? But do you think he is the franchise quarterback?
he is the franchise quarterback. Just look at his numbers. Look what he did his rookie year. You know, he was on. We would have made the playoffs if we had him last year, because we came within one game or a half a game of winning the division. Yes, you can tell us that it's the NFC least. You can say we have the worst division in football. And, you know, you can argue that and you wouldn't be wrong. But if he had a healthy Dak, we would have won at least one or two games more. You know, last year we would have gotten to the playoffs. Then once you get to the tournament, who knows what's going to happen, right? So he's back. He's healthy. Yes, I know there's rumors of his shoulder. You know, the MRI came back clean on the weekend, so he's going to hit practice. You know, and again, if we have a good balanced attack, he even said it himself, if he's passing for 6,000 yards, we don't have a balanced game. And, you know, in the NFL, you got to have a balanced rushing attack to go with your passing attack, right? Because then you just don't, you know, it's hard to defend. We have those three great wide receivers. And then if Zeke is, you know, Zeke is the old Zeke. He is, I don't know if anyone's watched Hard Knocks. Zeke is looking thinner. Zeke is looking faster than he did the last couple of years. So yeah, I think we have the pieces. We just got to tie it all together. And that's hard to do.
NFL Draft 21, the Dallas Cowboys selected Micah Parsons from Penn State. Are you happy with this pickup? Is this what Dallas needs?
Yes, I am very happy watching him. So I follow along all of the Cowboy reporters. I follow along on the Twitter, so I see posts. Now it's in Hard Knocks. It's even easier to see what's happening behind the scenes. But he seems to be very fast. Key him up with Leighton Vander Esch. Key him up with Jalen Smith. You know, we've picked up some other people. You know, Canadian Brent Urban is now on the team. You know, we've signed some other free agents, which I'm sure you'll go over in a minute. So I think we've got all the pieces. He seems to be very fast. He seems to be very hungry. So I think with him, he can play. He's versatile. So they can move him around. They can do a bunch of things with him. You know, put him on the line to rush the passer. You know, I have a friend, Ray, who's like, look, the Cowboys, they're 0-2 in the preseason. Who cares about the preseason and their record? I point back to Detroit. Detroit went 4-0 a few years ago in the preseason. Then they lost the 16 games that counted. So in the preseason, we're looking at what the second team, the third team, what are those, some of those, who are those diamonds in the rough? Who are some of these guys that their NFL dream is going to come to an end in a couple of weeks when there's cuts? You know, so how are those guys who can step in and be the number two, who can be the second safety or the third or fourth corner that can spell some guys, you know, how is that going to work? Right. Who's going to be that fourth receiver? Is it going to be Noah Brown? You know, if everyone's covering, how's our tight ends? You know, our tight ends, we got great tight end play. So yeah, there's a lot of, I think we had a good draft. We went obviously all defense for our first five picks. Which is what was needed, because we had one of the worst defenses last year. I can't deny that. So I think with the new defensive coordinator, I think we'll be good.
Definitely on the receiver end, seeing CeeCee Lamb and Amari Cooper, that's going to be a great duo for the Cowboys, don't you think?
And don't forget Michael Gallup.
So, wow, you can't complain. Cowboys have the offense weapons there.
You can argue, as I said, you can argue we have a top three offense.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Or at very least top five, right? Based on who we have at the skill positions, right? Those guys, Dak. Yeah, everyone hates Dak. Everyone knows Dak's overrated. Dak's this, Dak's that. But you know what? He's put up the numbers. Don't look at last year. And same with Zeke. Everyone goes, oh, look at Zeke. Yeah, but look at what he's done in his career. Look at his 5 years in the league. Where is he among the best, right? So.
Yeah. Now, which of these two players you're worried about getting injured, Dak or Zeke?
I'm actually not worried about either of them. I think if our offensive line does well, I think to protect them, I think if they make some holes, that'll be easier for Zeke. You know, he's a lot thinner. I think he's worked on you know, holding onto the ball. He had a couple of fumbles last year. Everybody fumbles. It's a thing. You know, but I think I'm not worried about Dak. I think he will. I think that was just a one in a million kind of, that play was just a, you know, it was just a fluke thing that happened with him. And I'm not worried about him at all.
Yeah, one in a million. And you're right with the O-line, very important part. They will protect Dak. They will protect Zeke. And looking at other teams, I mean, I've been hearing Jacksonville Jaguars is having issues because what they saw with the O-line protecting Trevor Lawrence is not looking good. But back into the O-line, there's a awesome documentary that NFL Films did about a couple years ago talking about the Cowboys O-line back in the, like, the back in like the you know, back with
back in the 90s.
Yeah. Back then, with Jimmy Johnson and them, which was key of their Super Bowl success.
Yes. And that's what Jerry did a number of years ago. You know, he got Travis Fredericks. He went with Zach Martin. Yes, there's people going, "Oh, he was going to draft. He was going to draft Tim Tebow." He was never going to draft Tim Tebow. That was just a hater saying he was going to do that. So, you know, he did fortify that line in Zeke's first couple of years. He went off, right? Because he had the line. Now, Travis is gone. We've got a couple of younger guys in there that need to step up. Zach's healthy. Zach Martin wasn't healthy last year. Tyron Smith wasn't healthy. He's back, right, to solidify the ends. So if the line can make the holes, even if it's a small hole, Zeke will get through it. Now you have to bring an extra man into the box. So what's that going to do? That's going to give you one-on-one on those receivers. And if, you know, I don't care who you are, you're not going to cover. You can't cover all three of those receivers. And Dak will just rip you apart.
Give me
or just take off like he can do.
Give me how will the NFC East order be by the end of the season? Who will finish first, second, third, and fourth?
Cowboys are going to finish first. The Giants are going to finish last. Sorry, Giants fans. You can at me and you know, let's see what how Daniel Jones does in his third year. The other two, I don't know how Jalen Hurts is going to do in his first full year, right? Did they put enough pieces around them? That was the problem they had last year. Carson's gone, so he's in there. How's he going to do in his first full year? Is Fitzmagic going to play the whole year, or are they going to move to Tyler Henneke? You know, is it going to be kind of like what he did? Is he going to mentor that young guy like he did Tua last year in your town of Miami? So you know all about what's going on, what happened last year with Fitz, right?
Rich quarterback.
Right. So again, now you've got the young kid. If that's, you're paying him a bunch of, you're not paying him a lot of money, but you gave him an extended contract. So bring in a veteran, have no issue with them bringing him in. He has not led a team to the playoffs yet in his 16-year career, as I like to remind Washington Redskins fans. So they're like, you know, I'm like, that was the best move you made, because I know you're never going to make the playoffs because he's got a history. Prove me wrong. So I think it's going to come down. I think they're going to be second and third. In which order? It depends on who plays. Does Jalen Hurts does he get better his second year? Or is it still, you know, because he started, what, two games last year and then right toward the end of the year? Right.
So, yeah. And I believe like one of the games wasn't pretty. The other games was OK. So
one of them was that last game that he got yanked out because they were not trying to win or whatever happened on that last game. Eagle fans, don't at me. I think New York is still rebuilding. I think they still got some pieces they need to put in there. Washington, Philadelphia, I think they'll flip flop and see how things go and how things feed out in this new 17 game schedule.
Yeah, and I like Washington more than Philly. I might agree with that order with you. I like Ron Rivera, leadership, discipline, and he did some wonders last season. So we'll see if it spills over this season, but I'm pretty curious. Now, Deshaun Watson has been rumored to be traded to the Eagles and also Washington. Do you foresee that happening?
I see him possibly going somewhere. Again, it all depends on the legal issues, and I'll be honest, I've not been keeping up with the legal issues. If he is allowed to play, I could see him going somewhere. Yes. Do I see him going to either of those two? I don't know. I also could see if the Cowboys and if something happens and the Cowboys and Redskins are battling it out, maybe Philip Rivers come back out of retirement and step into one of those teams.
Correct. Or, he said he wants to come back.
Or a playoff caliber team. So if there's a team making a run and somebody and a quarterback gets hurt, does he come off the sidelines? I thought he might have with Carson Wentz going down. He might have popped back in because he did the system for a year. So I thought maybe he'd pop back in just to, but you know, maybe he only wants to be on a contender and he wants to wait and see. So I don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun. I've seen different tweets and things, people predicting he doesn't play at all this year or next year because of the legal issues. Right. So that's a hard one to judge because I just don't know about the legal challenges.
But hypothetically, in a perfect world, if he did come to the NFC East, how much of a shakeup that would be for that division?
It depends on the pieces around him. Right. Yeah. Would he be an improvement over Jalen Hurts if they had a solid running game, if they had some good receivers? I don't know. Would he be better than Fitzmagic? I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's really hard to say. Maybe if somebody got hurt and then it would make sense. But given what Washington has, would he be an upgrade possibly? But I don't know. You gave the young guy some money. You've got Fitzmagic in there. What is he going to add to it? You know, they already got a veteran in the locker room with Ryan. So I don't know. I could see him landing somewhere else. I don't know where, but I could see him landing somewhere else. Again, all things being equal, you know, injuries notwithstanding, you know, that sort of thing. Right? The bigger move is what happens with Nick Foles. That's the question.
He's available, isn't he?
That is he's still on Chicago. He got booed at the end of the game. Mind you, I don't know. He got booed, but he came in the fourth quarter. Like Nick Foles won the Super Bowl 3 or 4 years ago. Now he's the third string quarterback coming in the fourth quarter of the first preseason game. He's got exposure to Frank Wright and his system. I would have thought they would have pulled the trigger by now.
Quite interesting. Third string, would not picture him being there at that position, but we'll see what happens. Like things could happen.
That's the bigger thing is what happens to Nick Foles. That's over Deshaun Watson. That's the million-dollar question. Ooh. What happens to him?
Interesting chip to have. Speaking about the Bears this past weekend, Justin Fields, he had a great, fantastic win over the Miami Dolphins, 20-13. He threw for 142 yards, and he had a great game. What were your thoughts over this rookie?
It's the first preseason game. I didn't watch a lot of that game because I was watching other games. I saw the highlights. I don't know. He wasn't in against the ones. I think he was in the twos and threes. So, yes, I know they're calling it Soldier Fields now. So they want to call it that. Yes. I need to see one game, I had a Reds, a 49er friend of mine, you know, he goes, look at Trey Lance, look at this. And I go, yeah, but you know what? He was what, 4 for 158, but all that, like he got 80 yards on one play on a broken coverage. So take that play out. He was 3 for 15 for whatever yards. So, you know, it's still early. It's the first preseason game. It's not, you can't anoint these guys. You can't anoint these guys yet. Yes, Zach Wilson. I got all these Zachs in my head. Excuse me. Zach Wilson looked, I watched the part of the Jets game that he played. He looked good. He was playing, I think, with the ones versus some of the ones. So he looked well. Trevor Lawrence had some good passes. Again, Trey did look okay. Is he going to win the winning job, Trey Lance, over Garoppolo? I don't know. I think you at least start the season with the guy you know, then the rookie, because you got him. You're paying Jimmy all that money. Jimmy's got the experience. If Jimmy can stay healthy, that's the key, right? So I think it's a good problem to have. They have him back. They'll have him ready to go. I think they can do more. Same with Justin Fields. I think they can do more Than they can with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton, a little long in the tooth. No offense to Andy. He was a Cowboy last year. He's had a Hall of Fame career. No disrespect to Andy. But I think Andy starts the season, and then we'll see what happens from there. See how he does and go from there. Or do you just pull the trigger realizing that, and cause you got Andy Dalton, you got Nick Foles, and you got this guy. So
yeah, as Jeff was saying, you know, a preseason game is completely different from a regular season game. You know, you're gonna see some players play fantastic because you're not playing in starters, half the team in starters, so you don't know for sure. I mean, that's why I don't put too much caveat with this. You know, week one, what's gonna happen.
But that being said, how did he look? How did he do the reads? Right, it's hard. You know, on TV, you'd only see what you can see. Right.
Correct.
So you can't, you're not in the booth, you're not watching the tape, so you don't know, okay, did he make the right read? Did he take off and run? And these are just hypotheticals, right? Did he take off and run when there was maybe a throw to be made, right? This is something that I think Tua had to learn in Miami, just bringing it back to your team. You know, the throws are a lot tighter in the NFL than they are in college, right? So can he learn to make that throw? I know Tua had to, there were some throws that he didn't make, but that's what, you know, but because he's like, he's not open. But in the NFL, that's open. If the guy has half a step on you, you're open in the NFL. Whereas in college, you know, you're looking for a bigger break between the receiver and the corner, or the defensive back or whoever. Right. So I think, you know, how did he read the protections? How did he execute the protections? I think there's a lot of questions that we as fans don't see on the TV broadcast. Right. Because we just see what we can't see what's happening. We just see the line. We have no idea in some cases what the defense is doing. Are they showing cover one? Are they showing cover two? Did he read that correctly? Right. So I think the teams obviously can go back to the film and they can look at and say, okay, Trey, whoever, what did you see here and why did you do this? And teach them that, okay, you know what, that's open in the NFL. You got to make that throw. Yes, it's tight, but you can make it, right? So I think there's a lot of things that we as fans don't see on the TV broadcast just because they can't show us everything. Right. And yeah, with replay and whatever, but we don't see the pre-snap read. We can't see what we don't know what they called versus what he saw. Yes, I know in the Pro Bowl and stuff, you can hear and they're mic'd up and you can understand what they're doing. Right. But we just don't get to see that. Right. So I think the teams have to kind of go back and evaluate and make that decision that we as just fans, you know, people will go, oh, look at Trey Lance. Look at this. Yeah, but we don't know what happened. He had what? Do you have his stats? I don't have his stats handy, but he was like 4 for $1.58 or 5 for $1.58. But most of that came on that one play. What happened on those other 10 incompletions?
128 yards, one touchdown, 4 sacks, 5 for 14.
5 for 14. All right. So there you go. So take out that one play. He was 4 for 10. What happened on those other ones? All right. Again, I didn't watch all of the, you know, there was a lot of games on Saturday, and I have 4 televisions in my man cave, and I was flipping 4 back and forth between them. I couldn't watch them all. Right?
Watch them all. Okay. Back. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so yeah, it's week one. Yes. I know the Cowboys and Steelers, this is week 2 and they get that extra preseason game. And
4 games.
Not
bad.
I know that we're short. We only have 3 games. So the evaluation period is going to come back. You know, from what I'm hearing, he's lighting it up in practice, but again, we'll have to see.
Tua Tagovailoa had a great, great Saturday, first preseason, threw a touchdown to Mike Gesicki. He had a 50-yard completion to Gesicki. What do you think about Tua? Do you think he's the man in Miami? I know it's hard to say. He had a few games he played last season, but this is, I mean, what it feels like here in Miami, to be honest, Jeff, is kind of a do or die season for him.
Yes. I was just going to say that this is his year to prove it. Last couple of years, he had Fitzgerald behind him. Fitzpatrick behind him. There was a couple of games that he got taken out and, you know, Fitzy moved him down and scored and whatnot. But yeah, this is his year. He's got to make that leap. This is year 3. He's got to make that jump if he's going to be the guy. And, you know, he's got to make that. This is his team. It's all on his back now. So I think he's got enough pieces around him. I think if he makes, again, like we were talking about, makes the right reads, He's this is year three. He's understanding defenses more. What are the defenses throwing at him, right? He's now had two complete off seasons. I think having Ryan, you know, in the quarterback room with him, now they brought in Colt McCoy as that veteran presence to, again, sit there and go, okay, what did you see here, right? And this is what I might have done. Or, again, just it's that learning process, right? You know, not, you know, it's that learning process that everybody has to go through.
Also, right? Having Jacoby Brissett. So Tua has good role models around him.
He does. Look at Patrick Mahomes. He sat and did nothing for a year behind Alex Smith. Right. And then what did he do? Now he has above average talent. He is a special human being, Patrick Mahomes. Right. And we all sort of knew that. But again, I, when people ask me during that draft process, you know, where do you see him? Do you see him? I'm like, well, you know what? Let's just wait and see. We haven't seen him in the NFL. OK, now we have, and he's lit it up and, you know, he's above average talent. So, but he sat for a year and. I don't think coaches – see, Andy Reid is a different human being. He's a different kind of coach. He was fine sitting him for a year, knowing what he had in that building and seeing it every day and knowing, yeah, you know, we'll sit him for a year and then we'll decide what happened. Other teams do not have that luxury, right? Would they sit Trey Lance for a year and just let him learn behind Jimmy? I probably would if I was a GM and just say, you know what, just let him learn.
Would be a good option.
If we're in – and I'm not just saying Trey Lance. I'm just saying whoever it might be, whoever. Right. If you draft a guy number one, or even, you know, there's a big rush to, oh, we drafted him one. We got to get him on the field. Well, how'd that work out for Mitchell Trubisky? You moved up for Mitchell Trubisky, and how did that work out, right? So, you know, I think the NFL, it's a hard game. It's a hard game to learn. It's a lot different from college. Again, it depends on where you came from, and in some schools have run a pro-style offense, and so the learning curve is not as steep for some kids as it is for others. But still, these guys are 20, 21, 22 years old. You know, you got to give them a chance to kind of learn, but teams don't. They're in a win-now kind of point of view, right? So I think they may get thrown to the fire, and that, right? So I think, so back to your original question. What was your question? Tua. I think this is his year. He's had 2 years now. He's, you know, he was the guy. He was in and out. He's, you know, he's had 2 years. He's had three off seasons now. He's got to prove it. He's got to step it up. The Bills, unfortunately, the Bills are the class of that division at the moment, like the Patriots were for two decades before. I think the Bills are the class of that division. So I don't think they're going to beat the Bills and win the division, but they certainly could be a playoff team. Yes.
I like the sound of that. And la. And then before
my Jets loving son, who's not listening to me, probably doesn't want to hear that they could be a playoff team. But I think the Jets won't be a playoff team this year, because I think Robert Salas said they are going to have the most rookies starting of any team. So I think their leadership is going to give him time. It's not going to be one of these, you know, San Francisco. I even forget the guy. The guy was 1 year and he was out. And it's like, oh, come on. You can't give a guy 1 year, right? Look at Pittsburgh. They've had three coaches in their entire 50-year career. Once they get a coach, they hang on to them forever, right? So I think that teams are win now, and I think the fans, the Browns went 20 some odd years without a winning season. I think they need to develop patience, but we live in a win now sort of mode.
Society.
But I think the Jets. Give it another year. Zach Wilson under their belt, couple of players. They got Corey Davis. They got Denzel Mims. They've got a couple other people that my son would be mad at me for not remembering when he beat me in Madden last night. Yes, I think they could be a playoff team. They're not going to win the division. I think the Bills, Bills, Titans, and obviously Kansas City are the top three teams in the AFC.
And of course, before we go, Jaguars lost against the Cleveland Browns 23-13. Urban Meyer says that there will be a quarterback competition between Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew. Thoughts over that, and if you saw Lawrence's performance on Saturday?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I saw more of the highlights. He can throw the ball. Again, back to my original point, you know, how is he going to do at reading a real defense? How is he going to be at blitz pickup? How is he going to be at changing the protection at the line, right? This is a lot different than playing in Clemson, right? So, you know, how is he going to do that? You know, I think Urban, I think they're going to, if they don't start him day one, I think there may be riots in Jacksonville. I think they want him to be the guy. Again, I've always been on Minshew mania. You know, I think he's great. You know, but again, there's a reason why they had the first overall. There's a reason why they had the first overall pick. If he was that great, they won their first game and then they lost 15 straight, right? So, you know, I don't think they can't not start Trevor Lawrence. And I think they're going to obviously Urban Meyer, his NFL career is tied to Trevor Lawrence. He's going to live and die by Trevor Lawrence. If Trevor does really well, then he is going to be, you know, he's going to be the hero of the league. If he doesn't and he's out in 2 or 3 years, you know, and again, everybody. And this is my problem. With fans, they are quick to blame the one person. And you can dig through my tweets, and I've said this many times, one play at the end of the game does not win or lose you the game. So when the kicker misses the field goal at the end of the game, they're like, get rid of the kicker, he missed the field goal. Why was he in that position, right? Why was he forced to kick that 40? Why didn't the running back get an extra 10 yards to make it easier? Why didn't the wide receiver catch the ball? Why didn't the quarterback make a better throw? Why didn't the defense stop them? Right? As a Cowboy fan, everybody hated Tony Romo for, his end of season. Oh, he threw an interception into the game. Yes, but there was 8 seconds left. The 2 minutes before, he put them ahead, and our defense let up a score. So now he's got 10 seconds left. So, yes, of course he's going to throw it deep to Dez Bryant. It's going to get picked off. You know, is that Tony Romo's fault? Yes. Yes, it is. You know, so, you know, that's my problem with certain things. And I've said it many times, that one play at the end of the game doesn't win or lose you the game. There was a bunch of other factors that led up to that. So, you know, Trevor Lawrence, he may lose his first couple of games, but it may not be go back to. So Tom Brady has, you know, however many rings. The one ring he has was because of the bad play by Seattle. If Seattle had played differently, they would have scored that touchdown and won that second straight Super Bowl, and Tom would have less rings. So nobody ever remembers that. So that Tom had zero to do with that Super Bowl ring. They should have lost that game because of, you know, should they have run it with Marshawn Lynch on that play, right? Again, one play doesn't win you or lose you the game.
I love the whole analogy with Romo and one game. Yeah, you're right. You know, one play, you know, could make a difference, may not make a huge difference. So,
oh, look, get rid of the kicker because he missed that field goal. Okay, but why didn't the guy step out of bounds earlier? Why didn't the receiver catch the ball? Why didn't the line open up a hole for? And I'm not talking Cowboys. I'm just talking theoretically in general, right? So, and I'm on record many times of saying one or two plays at the end of the game. Right. They're like, oh, look at the kicker. Look at the quarterback. Look at this. Look at. Yeah. But what about why didn't they score more points in the first half?
There you have it. Wow.
Why did he fumble the ball? Right. Why did Derek Carr, you know, what did he lead the league in fumbles last year? If he hung onto the ball more, they were doing really well. And then they petered off at the end of the year. So, again, there is a lot of other factors that are going into this. Trevor Lawrence may have, you know, 3 wins this year, but none of them might be his fault. If the defense gives up a touchdown at the last play of the game to Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers throws, I don't even know if they're playing this year, don't at me. but, you know, if Aaron Rodgers throws some Hail Mary at the end of the game and wins the game, is that Trevor Lawrence's fault that they lost? It's going to show up on the stat sheet as a loss. They're going to go, Trevor Lawrence got, you know, Gardner Minshew was 1-15 last year as the quarterback in Jacksonville. Were all those losses his fault?
Jeff, you probably had a lot of debates over that. With other fans as well. So, wow, what a show. Definitely, we got a lot of covered, previewing the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. NFC East, and then, of course, recapping and previewing these rookie quarterbacks and their new teams. I'm looking forward, Jeff. Wow, this is pretty exciting. Anything else before we land this plane?
No, I just want to thank you for having me on. It was great. I know you and I have talked offline quite a bit. And, you know, as you can see, I'm very passionate. We're an NFL house. You know, my one son is a Broncos fan because of my nephew and whatnot. You know, we do live an hour from Buffalo. So I have taken my one son. I took him to the Jets-Bills game a few years ago in December. He was not real happy with me about that. The year before that, I took him to Dallas for a fantasy football convention. So one summer I took him where it was 110 degrees. The next time I took him to Buffalo where it was cold. So at some point I got to take my other son to a Bills game. You know, again, you know, I don't mind the Bills. I'm an hour from the Bills. We get a lot of Bills coverage. I do follow some Bills people on the, you know, they got Cole Beasley, former. I don't know what's going to happen with that. And I think one other final point, I think a big unknown is this whole COVID. What's going to happen with this? How is that going to affect, right? The league has already said if an unvaccinated player causes an issue with the team, there's no moving the game. You get a loss, and that affects playoff seeding. So will the COVID affect a team and playoff seeding? That's the question to watch.
Yeah.
That is the area to watch this year.
That will be making news you know, once a team you know, breaks the COVID protocol or there a couple positives. But anyways,
and end up having to lose a game and lose a playoff and maybe miss the playoffs because of that, right?
Yeah.
So that is going to be interesting to watch as this year folds out. But yes, I want to thank you for having me on. I love the show. Make sure you do subscribe on all of the channels like I do so you can keep up. He also sends a great newsletter every morning when I wake up. There's your sportscast sitting in my inbox for me to scroll through. So if you aren't following, you got to make sure. Of course, why would you be watching if you're not following?
Exactly.
Share this with your friends and make sure you follow. You can also follow me on Twitter or YouTube, whatever. I do a lot of gaming content, but I do sometimes post some other stuff. So if you like video games, make sure you can give me a follow. Love to interact with all of the fans. And tell me where I'm wrong. You tell me that Trey Lance is the heir apparent. He's the next Patrick Mahomes. I'd love to hear it. Love to hear other fans, you know, opinions and, you know, their wrong opinions at that.
Absolutely. But before we go, poll question of the day, what is your favorite type of joke? Knock knock jokes, your mama jokes, observational, or dude, slapstick.
Dude, I am an old man. in the gaming community where I associated with, I think I am the oldest or one of the oldest. It's got to be dad jokes. Sorry, I'm an old man. I have an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old. I have been telling dad jokes for 20+ years. So yes, it was that one of your choices? Was that on? I didn't. Was that
yes, on our Twitter, the Sportscast One, we have a poll question every day, and so far, knock knock jokes and observational is tied at 43, and slapstick is at 14%, and your mama jokes is at 0.
What about dad jokes?
I didn't put that one down.
What about Jeff Foxworthy and his redneck jokes? Where does Jeff Fox, or is he not the exclusive? There would only be one vote because he's allowed to vote for redneck jokes. Is that?
I have no idea, but there's a lot of jokes, a whole lot of different type of jokes. So that I can give you.
There you go. I'm an old man, and so I am gonna go dad jokes. So is there an other? Can I write my dad jokes in?
Sure. Anyways, one more time, Jeff, what is the best way to reach you online?
Best way is through all my socials are mostly at Jeff Janak. So that's my Twitter. That's my Instagram. That's my YouTube. That's my you can find me there on Facebook and also on Twitch as well. I stream Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays. Mondays and Wednesdays, I do Google Stadia games. So if you don't know anything about Google Stadia or you've heard it's crap, that's all wrong. Come and watch me play. Friday nights, I also do retro gaming. So I stream old console retro games.
That's awesome.
So if you
very
like
unique.
PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, some play like the old retro games, I'm working through that. I'm eventually later on, I'm going to move back to Nintendo and some other stuff. So That's where I stream. And then I do other random streams depending on what's going on in the world. So
that's awesome. Jeff Neck.
Thank you for having me on here.
Platforms.
Thank you for everybody watching. I appreciate
it. Yeah. And also, you can follow us at the Sportscast One on Twitter or thesportscast.net. Jeff, it was a pleasure, and you'll be back for sure.
Oh, excellent. All right. Anytime you need me, buddy, I'm here for you. I'm here for the fans. I'm here for you guys. Love to interact. Love to know what you guys are thinking. Love to know your wrong opinions about your team.
Let's do it. Go, boys.
Go, Cowboys.